Today's sermon is What is Your Position, Part 2. Last week was Part 1. You can go back on the website and see it, but we'll update you today. But last week we talked about our goals as pastors for each and every service that we have is that number one, that our people would experience the presence of God. And number two, that you would hear and experience the Word of God. And to number three would be to teach righteousness. Numbers 1 and number 2 brings changes to our lives through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Why? Teaching righteousness is to be blessed by God. So position number 3 is for us to be blessed by God. Why? Teaching righteousness is teaching us to follow God's will and His ways, teaching obedience to God. So we want to position ourselves, and this is what we talked about last week. We want to position ourselves in righteousness. When we talk about righteousness, it's very simple to think about that I am upright before God. If I am standing upright before God, if I put God's throne up there and I put myself here, if I am walking in righteousness because I am obeying God's word, I'm following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am truly in line with my Heavenly Father to receive His blessings. When I am walking outside of that blessing, God's throne, as an example, is over here, but I am over here. I am no longer positioning myself in my life to be blessed. So the question is, in everything that I do, in everything that I say, am I positioning myself in a position to be blessed? And last week we spoke of two areas in our lives. The first one being unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Our relationship with others are important in our relationship that we have with God. I want to say that again. Our relationship with others are important in our relationship that you and I have with God. Second, the tithing principle we talked about. Your giving reveals your relationship with God. If He is your provider and your dependence is your dependence upon Him, is your trust in Him, then you will praise Him through your giving what He is doing in your life. The third thing that I want to talk about today, so this one is brand new, I want to speak today about unforgiveness. Because through unforgiveness, we take ourselves out of a position that we have with God to be blessed by God. So I want you, everyone in the church right now, I want you to think about that person that you have a hard time forgiving. Okay? We got a lot of work to do. Because there's more than two or three people that went through your mind. And we went from a church that was smiling to a church that was frowning. And we might as well have an understanding and have a little bit of fun of it with it that I'm not good at this. Forgiveness is not something I am real good at. And I think if we are all understanding and reach out to each other, we could all say, Father, I am not very good with forgiveness. And it is something in my life that I need to work on, that I will be forgiving to others as Christ is forgiving to me. So I can say in my prayer today, dear Heavenly Father, I am not very good with forgiveness. I fail at it at many times. But I pray, Father, that as I commit my life to You to be better at forgiveness, that You will bless me. And You will enlarge your life into each and every one of us. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 today. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. It says in Colossians 3, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace to your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, if I ask you after reading these scriptures, if we're talking about a saint that is doing all of these things, would you say that this person is positioned to be blessed? And your answer would be, yes, they are. Because if you look at verse 13, bearing one another and loving, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And verse 25. Mark 11 and verse 25. In verse 25 it says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. If I can't forgive others for their mistakes, I can't be forgiven of mine. Unforgiveness is a major breakdown in answered prayer. Unforgiveness takes us out of a position to be blessed. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 6, verse 9. Or Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, the Lord's Prayer. Verse 9, it says, in this manner, before praying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Some denominations repeat this prayer every week, but many have no intentions of obeying verse 12. And verse 12 says what? And forgive us our debt as what? As we forgive our debtors. Oh, they want the forgiveness part without ever the forgiving part. Listen to me, forgiving others is the most godly thing you can do. It is the most divine thing you can do, is to forgive others. Now let me teach you a little bit on forgiving 101. Forgiving is not excusing or justifying their actions. So if someone hurts you, someone harms you, somebody speaks ill of you, just because you forgive them, it does not justify their actions. It does not excuse them for what they have done. If what they did was wrong when you forgive them, it is still wrong. But you are going to allow God to hold them accountable and not yourself. Putting yourself in a position that your trust is in God, your loving is in God, and you're following after Him, because you know that your Heavenly Father is going to take care of that issue. If not on this earth, someday we will be justified, and someday we will be lifted up. My faith, my trust in God allows me to let go, because I know that my Heavenly Father will make it right. So many times we want to make this right within ourselves. While I'm walking on this earth, I want that person to come to me, and I want to be justified in what I said and what happened and what took place, because they were lying, or they said this about me and it wasn't true, or they said that about me and it wasn't true. You know what, brother and sister? There are a lot of instances in your life you will never get justification on this earth, but you will be justified in heaven because of your relationship with the Heavenly Father. They've got to stand before God, not you, over that. But we don't want to stand before God because we have an unforgiving heart. Only God has the ability to forget. God remembers our sins no more. He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. He throws them as far as the east is from the west. But you know what? Because of our finite minds and our limited ability, we remember. The key to forgiveness is, yes, I will remember, but I do not hold them accountable for that wrong. You're not going to forget it. And maybe you're always going to be just a little bit touchy about it. But you can let that go to your Heavenly Father. Lord, I just give this over to you. I forgive them. They know not what they do. We see two instances where that is said. Jesus says that. Stephen says that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We can also have that in our heart that we say, Father, I'm just going to place them in your hands. I'm going to turn them over to you. I don't understand the reason why, but I am not going to carry a grudge. I am not going to allow bitterness to creep into my life. I am not going to be that kind of a person. And Father, I just place them into your hands. To give you an example, when Carol, she moved from Hartford to Pleasantville like in sixth grade. And she says that her first encounter with me was on the basketball court, and she thought I was a wild man. And she made the comment, I need to stay away from that person, and I don't ever need to be around them ever again. I'd knock the glasses off her face when playing basketball because we were roughhousing or whatever. But evidently, she forgave that because this spring we were married 50 years. But let me ask you, did she forget it? But let me ask you, did she forget it? Oh, no, she did not forget it. So there are things that are going to happen in each and every one of our lives that, no, I am not going to forget it. When you say, I forgive this person, doesn't mean that God is going to go into your memory bank and he's going to erase everything wrong that was ever taking place there. It does not work that way. You're going to remember it, but you're going to live it in your life and with your relationship with that people as if it never happened. Just because you forgive them doesn't mean that you agree with them. It doesn't even mean that you have to like them. But since I'm not God, I will allow him to hold them accountable, and I will not. Listen to me. For your own emotional and spiritual well-being, you must learn to let go. Someone said unforgiveness was like drinking poison and thinking it was going to kill the other person. As a Christian, I want your forgiveness. And I know that in the congregation, as we live together, as we grow together in our relationship, and I can be very honest with you, you're more family than I've got for family. You are my family. I want your love. I want your forgiveness. Because there are things as a pastor that I will do that I will hurt you. But you need to just look, turn around and say, Lord, I give him over to you. And I pray that, Lord, that you will speak to Pastor Leo. You will speak to his heart. And if this isn't right, you will make it right. Because, Father, I forgive him. I love him. I want to have that relationship with him. But non-Christians, because they don't believe, they could care less whether you forgive them or not. You get that? So you're carrying around this unforgiveness, thinking it's going to hurt that other person when they absolutely do not care. And because they do not care, it has no effect on them. But so who's it affecting? It's affecting you. In reality, forgiveness is more for you than it is for them. Think about that. Forgiveness is really more for you than it is for them because you're able to let go of it. They could care less, but you know that forgiveness places you in a position to do what? To be blessed. That's what I want. I want God's blessing. I may never have that person's justification. They may never come up to me and say, oh, Leo, I did this wrong, and I ask you to forgive. I may never get that, and probably in most cases you will never get that. Sometimes people will hold grudges in their heart with unforgiveness and say, well, you know, if that person would just come up to me and ask me for my forgiveness, I'd give it to them. Really? Really? Is that where we're at? That somebody has to actually come and beg to you to gain your forgiveness? We should be able to say, Father, I forgive them without ever saying a word to them or them saying a word to me. I'm going to let that go, Father, because I'm going to turn that over to you. You're the one that can take care of it. I know there's many times in the building instance, we were working and working and working. We had this issue, they had that issue. The Holy Spirit would just speak to my heart and say, I've got this. Leo, I have got this. And we have to turn these things over to God and say, you know what, God, you've got this. I do not. And I am not going to let it damage my relationship with you or with others, and I want to be in a position where I can be blessed. So weigh it out. I can carry unforgiveness. I can hold a grudge. I have the feeling I want to get even. Bitterness sets in my life. Or I can forgive, have answered prayer, position to be blessed. Which do you choose? I would choose to forgive. I want my prayers to be answered. And I keep longing for some of those prayers to be answered that I've prayed for many years. I want myself in a position to be in a position with my Heavenly Father through righteousness that they can be answered. Forgiveness truly reveals your trust in God. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those that are called according to His purpose. God is going to use the mistreatment of what they did to you for you. God is going to use that in your life. Do you believe that? We say that we are a church that is a word church. We believe the word of God, we stand on the word of God, and we promote the word of God. Well, let's start standing on the word of God. If He says that all things are going to work together for good in my life as a Christian, as a born-again believer today, then I need to stand on that. Father, that's what your word says, and that's what I need. I need that in my life. You mean God can really do that? And the answer is yes, that He can. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. 23, verse 32. Verse 32. Luke 23, I better get to the right one. 23, 32. And it says there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. Verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, where they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The only other time I see that written in the scriptures is with the stoning of Stephen. And you got the Apostle Paul holding everybody's coat so they can have free will to throw as hard as they possibly can to kill Stephen. And when Stephen looked up into heaven, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As a saint of God, many people that you will come in contact with, you can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Because they're hurting the body of Christ. And they divided his garments and he cast his lots. And the people stood looking on, even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen God. Now turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, we're going to go down to verse 19. Ephesians 1, verse 19. So in Ephesians 1, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places? So if I stop right there, can I say, did it work out? And the answer for Jesus, yes, it did. Because He's seated at the right hand of God today. Verse 20, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Was Jesus glad when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Yes, He was. In verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the which is to come. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills it all in all. So Jesus, instead of screaming defiance, asked His Father to forgive them, and today He is seated at the right hand of God. And how did that work out? Absolutely wonderful. But look at verse chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's where you're sitting today. Hallelujah! Praise God. That's where you're seated spiritually today. No matter what this world does, no matter what this world says, I'm going to ask for forgiveness for them because I'm seated with the throne of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. That's our place. That's our place of authority. That's where we reign. This place is not our home. Heaven is our home. Glory to the name of Jesus. You were forgiven. And spiritually, you are seated in heaven. And how did that work out for you? You're going to say, hallelujah. Praise his name. So let's forgive. Let go and be in that position to have answered prayer and to be blessed by God. And maybe one thing you want has not happened because you have not forgiven them. I don't want any hindrance in my prayer life. And if there's somebody in my life I have not forgiven, I say, Father, I forgive them right now. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I was the one that caused the heartache. But Father, I ask your forgiveness because I want that oneness in my relationship with you. And there's many people out here today, many people outside of the church that never come to Jesus because they don't think Jesus can forgive them for what they have done. Jesus can forgive anybody. No sin is outside of the grace of God because he loves us so much he sent his only begotten son. If God can forgive me, I need to forgive everybody. Thank you, Jesus. God loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his son. I know you hear that over and over. But let that come home. You're never outside the love of God. And nobody else is. Maybe in your life you can't forgive a parent. Maybe in your life you've gone through the tragedy of a divorce and you have not been able to forgive that person. Maybe you got hurt in a church and you just can't let it go. You know what? It's hurting you. It's not hurting them. You have drank that poison, thinking it's going to poison them, but you're poisoning yourself. Brother and sister, if this church loves each other, as we should, and everyone comes in those doors can feel our love and feel our acceptance, this church will never stop growing. When we are a congregation of people that are working together, we come up against different conflicts, but if we are a group of people that says, I forgive you, I prefer you, I love you, because Christ showed that same forgiveness to me, he showed that same grace to me, and here it is. I want to extend that grace to you. This church will never stop growing. So whatever's in your backpack, you stand with me today. Whatever is in your backpack of unforgiveness, and sometimes people will start out in life and they almost walk like this. But through the heartaches and the hardships of life, they keep putting every unforgivable thing in their backpack, and pretty soon they're so critical and so bitter that their life is just bent over this way. Jesus wants you this way. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we started out saying, Father, I am not very good at forgiveness. Father, I have to be honest with you, and I have to be honest with the congregation. Sometimes in my mentality, I think that we should kill them all and let you sort them out. And I know that's not right, and I know that's not the heart that you put inside of me and you renewed in me, because I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am to be forgiving. I am to be loving. And Father, I commit my life to you for a life of love and commitment and devotion and forgiveness. And God, I ask you to bless us as you open those windows of heaven, that you pour them out upon all your sons and your daughters today, Father. I ask that as we leave this place, that we will take the Word of God with us. We will leave that unforgiveness outside the door, never to bring it back in, never to take it home. It's forever with you. I forgive them, Father, because they did not know what they were doing, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all.